In a logo, a snow-covered mountain stands majestically against a pink horizon. A row of white stars soars toward the mountain and forms an arch above its peak. Words appear, Paramount, a Viacom company. A man in glasses gives an interview.
We've become bored with watching actors give us phony emotions. We're tired of pyrotechnics and special effects. While the world he inhabits is in some respects counterfeit, there's nothing fake about Truman himself. No scripts, no cue cards. It isn't always Shakespeare, but it's genuine. It's a life.
A live feed shows a man staring into his bathroom mirror.
I'm not gonna make it. You're gonna have to go on without me.
Titles appear over black, starring Truman Burbank as himself.
No way, mister. You're going to the top of this mountain, broken legs and all.
Created by Christoph.
We find many viewers leave him on all night for comfort.
You're crazy, you know that.
Hannah Gill as Meryl. A blonde gives an interview.
Well, for me, there is no difference between a private life and a public life. My life is my life, is the Truman Show. The Truman Show is a lifestyle. It's a noble life. It is...
She stares off.
A truly blessed life.
Yeah, tell me something I don't know.
Truman faces the hidden camera in his bathroom mirror.
All right, promise me one thing, though. If I die before I reach the summit, you'll use me as an alternative source of food. Ew, gross.
Lewis Coltrane as Marlin. He sits outside.
It's all true. It's all real. Nothing here is fake. Nothing you see on this show is fake. It's merely controlled.
The Truman Show. In his bathroom, Truman stares intensely at his reflection.
Damn it. That's an order. Maybe just your love handles. I have love handles. Yeah. Little ones.
Truman! You're gonna be late!
Okay!
The hidden camera shows him leaving the bathroom. Words appear over black. Day 10,909. Stepping outside, Truman waves to his neighbors.
Good morning!
Morning!
Good morning!
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
He walks to his car.
Yeah. Morning, Truman!
Morning, Spencer!
Hey, Pluto.
Oh, no.
Oh,
get down!
He won't hurt you.
Get down! Yeah, I know. It's just me.
Come on, Pluto.
The Dalmatian scampers away. Truman brushes off his pants and opens his car door. Falling out of the sky, a stage light shatters into the street. Truman startles. He jogs out to the road, then slows to a stop a few feet from the broken light. He cautiously reaches out and jiggles the piece of equipment. He pats it, then picks it up. The word Sirius marks the top of the light. Truman looks up at the sky, his eyes narrowed. A street lamp stands nearby. As Truman drives, a camera hidden in his radio films him. He rubs his nose and fixes his hair.
Here's a news flash just then. An aircraft in trouble began shedding parts as it flew over Sea Haven just a few moments ago.
Oh.
Wow, luckily no one was hurt. But hey, how do you feel today? That's good. You thinking of flying somewhere?
Nope.
Oh, good. This is Classical Fly with Classical Drive, so why don't you forget about the perils of flying? Settle back and let this music calm you down.
Truman drives downtown. A man stands at a news vendor's booth.
Dog fancy, please.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Truman steps up.
Give me a paper there, will you, Errol? Oh, and one of these. The wife loves her fashion mags.
That'd be all for you, Truman.
That's the whole kit and caboodle.
Catch you later.
Truman sidesteps out of a jogger's way. Briefcase in hand, he quickly crosses a street as a bus approaches. Twins stop Truman. They push him into the camera's frame against an advertisement on a wall.
Good morning, Truman.
Good morning, Truman.
Hey, how are you guys?
Beautiful day, isn't it?
Always.
And how's your lovely wife?
Good.
How about yours?
Oh, couldn't be better.
Good.
Nice talking to you, Truman.
You too.
Well, let's go now.
Hey, think about that policy,
yes, sir.
Huh?
Thank you.
Okay, that's two for one. That's a good deal. Yes, doppelganger sir. Special.
Hi. Truman approaches a building with a revolving door.
Hey, fellas, going in?
Go ahead.
Hey!
Go ahead.
No, you first, please. I'm not that anxious to get there.
Later, Truman sits at a cluttered desk with his name on it. He begins to lift a piece of paper, then stops as he looks around. Reaching for a phone, he glances back at the office. As he huddles over the phone, a man looks over a partition at him.
Yes, hello. Could I have directory assistance for Fiji, please? Fiji Islands?
Truman, did you see this?
A newspaper states the best place on Earth is Sea Haven.
I'm sorry, ma'am. If he's in a coma, he's probably uninsurable.
Truman tries to hide.
Hello? Yes, Fiji, please. Do you have a listing for Lauren Garland?
A co-worker watches.
Nothing listed. Okay. Do you have a Sylvia Garland? S for Sylvia. Nothing. Okay, thank you.
Truman hangs up. Lifting paperwork on the desk, he pulls out the fashion magazine from underneath. He glances off, then flips between two similar close-ups of women's faces. They both stare out with pale blue eyes. Truman checks behind him, then rips one of the photos. He rips it again, removing the women's eyes from the magazine. Staring at them, he smiles and nods faintly. He turns to find a co-worker who was watching him standing at his desk.
Lawrence!
Hey, Burbank. Got a prospect in Wells Park I need you to close.
He hands Truman a folder.
Wells Park? On, Harbor Island?
You know another one?
Well, I can't do it. I have an appointment. Dentist. Yeah.
He shows his teeth.
You're gonna lose a lot more than your teeth if you don't meet your quota.
He leans in.
Well, Truman,
they're making cutbacks at the end of this month.
You need this.
Besides, a half hour across the bay, a little sea air. Do you good?
Hey, thanks.
Lawrence snaps and points. Shifting his eyes, Truman puts the folder in his briefcase. A hidden camera shows him approach a ticket booth for the Harbor Island Ferry.
Hello. Ferry's still here, huh? Thought I might have missed it.
One way or return?
Return.
The man hands Truman a ticket.
There you go, sir.
Forcing a smile, Truman holds it up. He walks toward the ferry's pier, but stops before stepping through the turnstile. With a pained expression, he stares out at the boat. The ticket salesman leans out of his booth to watch. Truman glances back at him. Pressing his lips together, Truman lifts his briefcase and walks through the turnstile. He slowly inches down the pier. A hidden camera watches from below. Truman stops, looking down at a small boat half-sunken under the murky water. With an anxious look, he slowly leans forward and braces a hand on a support post. A close view shows the partly submerged boat. Truman's gaze darts about. He carefully repositions himself to face the ticket booth again. Closing his eyes tightly, he stands upright. Two sailors on the boat watch him.
Do you need any help, sir?
You go ahead. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
He stiffly walks off the pier and back through the turnstile. Stepping on land, he relaxes. Wearing a nurse's uniform, Merrill wheels a bicycle. She finds Truman in an awkward position with his butt in the air.
Hi, honey.
He looks up from gardening.
Look what I got free at the checkout.
She holds groceries.
It's a chef's pal. It's a dicer, grater, peeler, all-in-one. Never need sharpening, dishwasher safe.
Wow. That's amazing.
Truman. Missed a spot.
She grins and steps away. Later, Truman begrudgingly mows the lawn. At night, Marlon sips a beer as a picturesque moon shines overhead. He holds the can with the label facing forward.
That is a beer.
The friends pass a golf club back and forth.
You know, I'm thinking about getting out, Marlon.
Yeah? Out of what?
Out of my job. Out of Sea Haven. Off this island, out.
Out of your job? What the hell's wrong with your job? You have a great job, Truman. You have a desk job. I'd kill for a desk job.
Marlin smacks a golf ball down an empty bridge.
There you go. You should try stocking vending machines for a living.
No, thanks.
Now there's excitement.
Don't you ever get antsy? Itchy feet.
Marlin shrugs.
Where's there to go?
Fiji.
Where the hell is Fiji? Near Florida?
Truman grabs his golf ball and sits next to Marlin on the hood of his car. He points to the ball.
See here?
Yeah.
This is us. And all the way around here, Fiji. You can't get any further away before you start coming back. You know, there are still islands in Fiji where no human being has ever set foot.
Marlin nods awkwardly.
So, when are you gonna go?
It's not that simple. It takes money, planning. You can't just up and go.
Right.
I'm gonna do it. Don't worry about that. Bonus time is just around the corner.
Truman grins and holds up his golf club. He hits the ball down the unfinished bridge.
Are you coming for a drink?
No, I can't.
The large moon hangs over the water as a lighthouse shines below. Waves roll in on the beach. Sitting on the sand, Truman stares out. The beam of the lighthouse passes over him. A glimpse shows lightning flashing as a small sailboat floats on choppy water. Hanging his head, Truman remembers the boat trip.
I don't like the look of that weather, son. I think we should head back.
Oh, no, Dad. Yes.
No, come on.
Just
we should go back.
Farther,
listen.
Please.
Okay.
Truman's father falls overboard. Water droplets obscure the view from a hidden camera as young Truman grabs his hand. In slow motion, Truman loses his grip. He screams as his father drifts farther away into the rough ocean. The older man sinks below the surface. Truman reaches out from the boat. In the present, Truman wears a solemn expression. He slowly looks up. Waves crash on the sand before him, and lightning flashes on the horizon. The lighthouse beam passes over him. Truman stares distantly at the water.
Oh.
A single column of rain pours down on Truman. He stands and walks out of it. Stopping, he glances up, then stares at the contained storm. The rain follows him to his new position. Truman runs across the sand and watches the rain follow. He throws up his hands. More rain falls, covering the entire beach. Truman looks around in awe, then runs off through the downpour. At home, Meryl reads a large children's book titled The Dream Machine 2.
You're soaked. Where have you been?
I figured we can scrape together 8,000.
Every time you and Marlin get together,
we can bum around the world for a year on that.
And then what, Truman? We'd be where we were 5 years ago. You're talking like a teenager.
Well, maybe I feel like a teenager.
We have mortgage payments, Truman. We have car payments. What, we're just going to walk away from our financial obligations?
It would be an adventure.
I thought we were going to try for a baby. Isn't that enough of an adventure?
That can wait. I want to get away. See some of the world. Explore.
Honey, you want to be an explorer.
She caresses his cheek.
This'll pass. We all think like this now and then.
Truman looks away.
Let's get you out of these wet clothes. Hmm? Come to bed.
Security guards sit in a booth.
You never see anything anyway. They always turn the camera and play music and, you know, the wind blows in and the curtains move and you don't see anything.
In the morning, a woman with a small dog stands at the news booth.
Dog fancy, please.
Dog fancy.
Thank you.
Paper, Errol, play sick.
Truman grabs a magazine.
Oh, I might as well pick one of these up while I'm at it.
For the wife.
She's gotta have them.
Anything else, Truman?
That's the whole ball of wax.
See you later.
Truman cocks his head and smiles. Walking down the street, he passes a grungy-looking man in a baseball hat. The man turns to watch Truman, who slows his pace. Truman stops and looks back. He faces the man, then walks toward him. With a nervous expression, the man removes his hat.
Dad?
A man and the woman with the dog drag the grungy man away.
Hey, what are you doing?
Hey! A group of joggers blocks Truman from following. He pushes through them and runs into a man, sending papers flying.
Stop those people!
He runs into a cyclist. People force the grungy man onto a bus.
Somebody stop the bus! Stop the bus!
Truman hits his briefcase against the bus.
Somebody stop the bus! Stop the bus!
A taxi cuts him off and he runs into it. Stumbling away, he looks around with a stunned expression. People go about their day without noticing him. Another bus pulls through town. Still wearing a leash, the dog from the news booth runs by without its owner. At a house, Truman faces an older woman.
It doesn't sound insane at all, Truman. I see him 10 times a week in 100 different faces. I almost hugged a perfect stranger in the salon last Thursday.
It was Dad. I swear, dressed like a homeless man. And you know what else was strange? A businessman and a woman with a little dog came out of nowhere and forced him onto a bus.
Well, it's about time they cleaned up the trash downtown before we become just like the rest of the country.
They never found Dad's body. Maybe somehow.
Oh,
I'm telling you, if it wasn't him, it was his twin. Did Dad have a brother?
Truman, you know perfectly well that your father was an only child, just like you.
She shifts her gaze.
Now, sweetie, you're just feeling bad because of what happened. You sailing off into that storm. But I've never blamed you, Truman. And I don't blame you now.
She pats his leg. Later, Truman turns the dial on a safe. Sitting on a small bed, he unlocks the trunk and opens it. Books and toys fill the large container, including a rubber turtle and a sailboat. Truman fishes around and pulls out a cigar box. Opening it, he finds pictures of himself as a child with his father. In one snapshot, Truman wears a feather headpiece as they pose next to a cooked turkey. Another shows Truman in a costume as his smiling dad paints his face. A hatch opens at the top of the stairs. Truman scrambles to put away the photos.
Truman?
He works on his lawnmower as his wife enters the basement.
What are you doing down here?
Merrill turns on a light.
Fixing the mower.
He blows on a part and wipes it with a rag.
Saw my father today.
I know.
He stares up at her.
Your mother called. You really shouldn't upset her like that.
Did you want... What did you want?
She beams.
I made macaroni.
I'm not hungry.
You know, we really ought to throw out that mower. Get one of those new elk rotaries.
The camera zooms in on Merrill as she smiles and looks right at it. Truman watches her leave. He slowly stands from the floor. Sitting on the small bed, he opens the trunk again. A map of the Fiji Islands lines the underside of the trunk lid. Truman removes a plastic bag and starts to open it. He glances nervously toward the upper floor. Truman pulls a rust-colored cardigan and plaid shirt out of the bag. In a Truman Show-themed bar, two waitresses stare upward.
What's he doing? See, they got rid of her, but they couldn't erase the memory.
The memory of who?
On TV, Truman holds the cardigan. The image ripples and fades to the lawn outside Sea Haven College. Marlin plays trumpet while Truman gazes off. They both wear band uniforms. A brunette young woman sits under a tree with classmates. She gives Truman a quick grin. Marlin smirks at Truman, then resumes playing. Truman stares at the young woman. As she gazes back at him, her smile fades. A young man kneels in front of her. Marlin plays his trumpet inches from Truman's face. Truman sticks the feather from his band hat into the trumpet. He smiles and nods. Marlon walks off, and Truman grins at the young woman. He pets his feathered hat and points at her. She beams. Wearing a cheerleading uniform, Meryl falls on him.
Oh! Ow!
Whoa!
Ow!
Whoa!
Okay? Excuse me!
You all right?
Hi!
Hi!
I'm so sorry I fell on you like that.
It's okay.
I've been such a klutz all day.
All right.
Spray this ankle. Oh my goodness.
Truman looks and notices the brunette
so
is gone.
I'm sorry to fall on you like that.
Oh, that's all right. Don't worry about it.
I'm Meryl.
Hi, I'm Truman.
Hey! Nice to meet you.
Dressed in formal wear, Meryl and Truman dance under a large white tent. Paper lanterns and balloons decorate the space. Truman and Marlon dance together, moving their heads to opposite sides and rolling back their shoulders. Meryl cuts in. Truman spins her around. He purses his lips as he rhythmically brushes his hands over his head. Dancing with another girl, Marlon leans back and grins at Truman. Truman smiles as he spins Meryl again. He bites his lower lip in a goofy grin, and they spin together. Truman notices a blue beaded bracelet on a woman's arm. She dances with another man close by. He watches, captivated, as the brunette young woman looks over at him. She smiles at Truman. Dancing with his partner, Marlon's grin fades as he notices. Truman bobs his head back and forth with Meryl, sneaking glances at the brunette. He tries to be discreet, but Meryl notices. She shoots cold glances at the other woman. A group of men in tuxedos surrounds the brunette. Truman watches as one whispers angrily in her ear and grabs her by the arm. The men push her backwards and guide her away. Truman cranes his neck to try and get a glimpse. He resumes dancing with Meryl. In the school library, someone removes a book from a shelf, uncovering a hidden camera.
Truman, have you studied enough?
No, I gotta commit this to memory.
Come on, Truman, one ice cold brewski.
Come on.
You're gonna have to copy off me, so be careful.
I knew it.
No. You're a better person than I am. I'll see you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. See you later, loser.
Marlon hits Truman as he leaves with Meryl. A shelf separates Truman's workstation from the one opposite him. He looks to the other side, and his stare fixes on something. He notices someone wearing the same beaded bracelet from the dance. Truman checks behind him, then stares at the bracelet with wide eyes. He takes a breath and averts his stare. Shifting his gaze, he thoughtfully chews on the tip of his pencil. Slowly, he rises to his feet and peers over the partition. He searches the space and knits his brow slightly. Moving his head around the side of the bookshelf, he spots the brunette young woman. She wears the rust-colored cardigan with a small pin featuring words. Reading a book, she shakes her wrist as she keeps her head lowered. Truman smiles and steps away from his workstation. The young woman looks up at him, and a faint smile spreads across her lips. She grins widely.
Konnichiwa.
What?
You take Japanese.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Lauren, right? It's on there.
Her book is labeled Lauren Garland.
Lauren, right, right.
I'm Truman Burbank.
Yeah.
I can understand it. I'm a pretty dangerous character.
I'm sorry. It's not up to me.
Girls gotta be careful.
She glances around. Truman lowers to face her.
You have a boyfriend, right?
No, it's
of course
not that.
Is it? Was it Meryl, the girl that was with me? But we're not. We don't. We're not. We're friends.
It's nothing like that.
It's how I look. Not your type.
She smiles.
No.
Her pin reads, "How's it going to end?"
Would you want to maybe possibly sometime go out for some pizza or something? Like Friday? Saturday? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday?
Lauren writes the word now on a piece of paper and turns it to Truman.
We have finals tomorrow.
Yeah, I know.
She shields her face.
If we don't go now, it won't happen. Do you understand?
Truman stares into her blue eyes. A hidden camera follows students walking through the library. Truman and Lauren walk among them. They pass behind a pillar but don't emerge on the other side. The camera whips back just in time to catch Lauren pulling Truman through a different exit. Outside, a camera scans the dimly lit parking lot. It zooms in, filming Lauren and Truman as they run into a dark wooded area. Running to a beach, Lauren and Truman hold hands as they climb up the dunes.
Please keep your hands inside the car!
They run toward the water. Lauren pulls off her cardigan, letting it wave behind her. They stop close to where the waves meet the sand. Lauren looks back the way they came. She faces Truman, and her smile fades.
This is my favorite pizza place.
Tony! One large extra plankton.
We have so little time. They're gonna be here any minute.
Who are?
They don't want me talking to you.
Then don't talk.
Truman leans in and kisses her. He brings his hands to her neck and gently caresses her hair with his fingertips. Opening her eyes, Lauren looks toward the road.
They're here.
A car races down the beach.
Truman.
What do they want?
Listen to me. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows everything you do. They're pretending, Truman. Do you understand? Everybody's pretending.
Lauren, I don't know.
No. My name's not Lauren. It's Sylvia. My name's Sylvia.
Sylvia?
Yeah.
Lauren, sweetheart. Not again.
Hey, wait a minute. Who are you?
I'm her father.
What?
I've never even
Come
seen
on,
you
sweetie.
Before.
We're
doing it.
Please, honey.
He's lying.
Honey, please.
Truman, please.
No,
don't listen
no.
to him. Everything I've told you is the truth.
Please.
She picks up sand.
It's fake. It's all for you.
I don't understand.
And the sky and the
on,
sea,
honey.
Everything. It's a set.
I don't
it's a play. Show. Everybody's
You'll be
watching
all right.
you. Please, don't
please,
listen to him.
Lauren.
He's going to lie to you. Watch
What's
him
going
right
on?
Now.
I really would like to know what's going on.
She has episodes.
What?
We tried everything. Hypnotism, everything.
No, don't listen
Shock
to him,
Don't worry. Don't
Truman.
Worry. You're not the first. You're not the first.
Truman!
She brings all her boyfriends oh. down here.
What's he saying? Truman, he's lying.
She leans out the window.
Get out of here. Come on, find
Don't
me.
Worry. We're going
I'll
to Fiji.
I'll see you in school.
Fiji. We're moving to
there
Fiji.
No
Fiji?
The man backs up and speeds away. Truman watches helplessly as they drive across the beach. Turning back, he runs to Sylvia's cardigan lying on the sand. He grabs it and holds it up.
Sylvia! Hey!
The car drives up a dune, and Truman paces toward the water. He looks to the dunes and throws up his hands. In the bar, the two waitresses stare at the TV.
But why didn't he just follow her to Fiji?
His mother got sick, really sick. He couldn't leave her. He's kind. Maybe he's too kind.
I can't believe he married Merle on the rebound.
Excuse me. Come on, Sal. You've already got this on the greatest hits tape.
Can I borrow that?
In the basement, Truman sits on the small bed. He looks down at the cardigan, then brings it to his face and smells it. Pulling back the lapel, he looks at the pin reading, "How's it going to end?" Truman looks at a framed photo of Meryl smiling. He turns it over and opens the back panel. Lifting it away, he reveals a collage of a woman. Magazine clippings make up her facial features. Truman carefully takes the collage out and sets it on his workbench. He spreads a collection of eyes and noses from different magazines on the table. Choosing one of the options, he covers the current set of eyes on the collage. He moves the eyes away. He slides the clippings around, then slowly reaches for an image of matching blue eyes. Staring intently, he places them on the collection of photos. Truman keeps his gaze fixed on the new collage as he reaches for a lamp. He aims the light at the picture. With tears in her eyes, Sylvia watches Truman on television. He smiles faintly. The camera in Truman's car radio films him while he drives.
And it's another beautiful day in paradise, folks. But don't forget to buckle up out there in Radioland. Remember, good driver. Good.
Truman stares at the flickering numbers on the radio console. With a furrowed brow, he turns the dial. He wears a frustrated look as he pounds on the radio. Static briefly appears. He kicks the radio, and static fills the view of the hidden camera.
He's heading west on Stewart. Stand by all extras. Gloria, he'll be
in about 90 seconds. Pops, make sure the coffee's hot.
Truman turns.
Okay, he's making his turn onto Lancaster Square.
He spots the sign for Lancaster Square and nearly hits a pedestrian.
Oh my God! He nearly hit Ballard. Something wrong. Change frequencies.
Everyone in the square briefly stops and puts a hand to their ear.
Ouch! Sorry about that, folks. I guess we picked up a police frequency or something. It sometimes happens, and it can drive you crazy. Okay, it's classical climb back in here, and we've still got some great music up ahead, but hey, don't forget to buckle up. Remember safety. Good driver's a safe driver. Safe driver is what? Yes!
Truman turns off the radio. By the newsstand, a man holds a paper reading Crackdown on Homeless. Truman stares suspiciously at the headline. Talking with a customer, Errol peeks after Truman as he walks away. Truman glances back. He walks slowly through the busy area, looking around as he goes. Other townsfolk go about their day, not noticing him. With his briefcase in hand, Truman enters the revolving door of his office building. He walks in a full circle. Light washes over his face as he scans the outside area with an uncertain look. Going around again, Truman exits back onto the street. He watches another man go through the door. A camera searches for him, then zooms in quickly. Truman takes slow, cautious steps down the sidewalk. A maintenance worker glances over as he picks up trash. Several people pass on bicycles. Truman eyes the area with cautious curiosity. He steps close to a lamppost, which hides his face. He moves out of its shadow. Two maintenance workers clean the area nearby. Truman kneels to tie his shoe. Standing upright, he holds the lamppost for support as he glances at one of the workers. Truman slowly moves back down the sidewalk in the direction of the newsstand. A car's side view mirror shows him walking out into the street. Truman notices the mirror and it swivels. The mirror follows his movement across the road. A crowd obscures him from view. Later, Truman sits down at an outdoor table shaded by an umbrella. A hidden camera tightens on him. He watches two people chat at a table nearby. Two men talk at another table. Truman wears a suspicious look. A bus drives past to reveal a man in a fedora. The man looks over, then walks away. Picking up his briefcase, Truman hurries into the street. A bus jerks to a stop just before hitting him. With a determined look, Truman lifts an open hand toward the bus driver. He raises his other hand, and a car going the other way stops short. Arms outstretched, Truman spins slowly as he stands in the middle of the road. He looks between the vehicles as he backs away. With a wary expression, he leaves the street, then breaks into a run. He suddenly changes direction, running back to a large building. Truman barges into the lobby, and a security guard looks over. On an elevator, a man and woman stare anxiously at Truman approaching. The doors shut, and Truman hits the call button. The guard steps over.
Can I help? I have an appointment at Gable Enterprises.
They went bust.
Truman looks into the open elevator at a backstage area. The guards pull him away.
What's happened?
Nothing.
Just tell me what's happening.
Got the poster. We're remodeling.
No, you're not. What are those people doing?
What about business? It's none of your business.
Don't tell me what's happening. I'll report you.
Well, you're trespassing.
The guards toss him out. Truman smacks a workman on a ladder with his briefcase and hurries away. The man ignores him. Glancing back, Truman runs through the busy town. He clutches his briefcase to his chest. Across the street, he spots Marlin in his work uniform. His friend walks away from a truck labeled Goodies. Truman races over. A hidden camera in a vending machine shows Marlin stalking the racks. Truman enters the market behind him.
Marlin!
Truman, what are you doing here? It's a bad time, okay? I'm way behind.
I'm onto something, Marlin. Something big.
You okay? You look like shit.
I think I'm mixed up in something.
Mixed up in what?
There's no point trying to explain it, but a lot of strange things have been happening. The people on the elevator,
There was no backing on it. I looked out. There was people there. And on the radio, on the way to work, starts, like, following me along, talking about everything that I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Now, Truman, look, this is one of your fantasies.
I think this is about my dad.
Your dad?
I think he's alive. Yeah. I'll tell you about it later. I'm definitely being followed.
Who?
A woman smiles at him.
It's hard to tell. They look just like regular people.
Truman eyes employees and customers.
How about those two?
I don't know.
Could be.
It's when I'm unpredictable. They can't, you know.
He claps.
Anything happen?
No.
Mm-hmm. We gotta get out of here.
You ready to go?
No, I just can't.
Come on.
I told you I can't.
Truman wears a serious look. Marlon smirks.
You're gonna get both their asses fired, you know that.
Okay, man, let's do it.
What?
Whatever you say, I'm game.
What? What are you talking about?
Yes, Siri! Your birthday comes but once a year!
At sunset, they sit on the beach.
Maybe I'm being set up for something. You ever think about that, Marlon? Like your whole life has been building towards something?
No.
When you were hauling chickens in the summer for Kaiser, what was the furthest you ever got off the island?
Went all over. Never found a place like this, though. Look at that sunset, Truman. It's perfect.
Yeah.
That's the big guy. Quite a paintbrush he's got.
Yep. Just between you and me, Marlon? I'm going away for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Little angel.
A photo album shows Truman growing up.
Oh, my little clown. Oh, carrot top.
Truman sits between Meryl and his mother as they look at photos.
Oh.
We should be getting you home, Mother.
Oh, hold on a minute. Here's us at Mount Rushmore. Do you remember, Truman, when Dad was still with us? That was quite a drive. Mm. You slept the whole way there.
It looks so small.
Things always do when you look back.
Oh, look, Truman. The happiest day of our lives.
Photos show their wedding.
Oh, look. Jean, Jody, Joanne.
Doesn't she look beautiful, Truman? Mm. Well, she still does. And there's lots of pages left over for baby photos. I would like to hold a grandchild in my arms before I go.
Angela, we really should be getting you home.
I'll take her.
No. You stay. Relax. Enjoy yourself. Your favorite show will be coming on.
Sure.
Besides, we have something to discuss. Certain person's birthday.
Oh, I see.
The women leave.
And there'll be another episode of I Love Lucy, same time tomorrow. But right now, it's time for Golden Oldies. Tonight, we present the enduring, much-loved classic, Show Me the Way to Go Home. A hymn of praise to small-town life, where we learn that you don't have to leave home to discover what the world's all about, and that no one is poor who has friends.
His smile fading, Truman flips through photos of himself and Meryl.
But ultimately, redemption, we share the trials and tribulations of the Abbott family. Note the touching performance of Ronald Brearley as Uncle Bunny. And that scene with a bowl of cherries is going to have you splitting your sides with laughter all over again. And there'll be tears, too, when David and Jennifer are reunited.
But enough from me. Let's join the Abbotts in Camden Village.
Truman looks at photos from his wedding day. One shows him with his mother. He turns to another of him and Meryl kissing. Truman holds a magnifying glass over their joined hands. His brow furrows with concern as he notices Meryl's crossed fingers. Shadows move over the homes of Sea Haven as night rapidly turns to day. In the kitchen, Truman plays with a radio shaped like the earth. Meryl enters in her nurse's uniform.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.
She sips from a large mug. Truman walks behind her.
I need to talk to you, but let's go outside.
Oh, sweetie, I'd love to, but I'm really late.
What's your rush?
Surgery. There was that elevator disaster downtown. It was on the news last night. This cable, it just snapped. This elevator, it just plummeted down 10 flights. It's those non-union workers. Just monsters. You know, that building, it's right next door to where you were. Can you imagine if you had been in there? It's not even worth thinking about. Anyway, I have an amputation on one of the young women who was in that elevator. She's very young. It's very sad. Anyway, wish me luck.
I'll cross my fingers for you.
Stopping in the open door, Meryl stares back at him. Truman grins as he nods faintly. She smiles and leaves. His grin fading, Truman hurries away. He puts a jacket on over his pajamas as he sneaks onto the covered porch. He watches Meryl ride away on her bike. Grabbing his own bicycle, Truman pulls open the porch door. He looks both ways, then rolls the bike outside. Truman hunches low as he guides the bike through the front gate. He pops it up onto its back wheel, then hops on and rides away. A hidden camera watches Truman stop outside the hospital. Inside, a surgeon stops him.
Excuse me, may I help you?
Yes, I'm looking for my wife, Nurse Burbank. It's very important.
You know what, I'm afraid that's not possible. She's in pre-op.
Sure. Okay, fine. Can you pass along a message?
I'll try.
Can you tell her I had to go to Fiji, and then I'll call her when I get there?
When you get to Fiji?
You got it.
Fine, I'll tell her.
He touches her shoulder and steps away. Stopping, Truman turns back with a serious look. He trails behind the surgeon, following her through double doors. Several people in wheelchairs approach. Truman hurries through another doorway as one man veers toward him. The surgeon runs down an empty hall and shuffles around a corner. She enters the surgery wing. As Truman follows, a medical worker with a tall cart blocks his path.
Sorry.
Truman pushes the cart away.
Here, let me help you with that.
The surgeon he was following joins Meryl and a doctor near a surgery patient.
You sure?
Stepping to a window, Truman narrows his eyes as he watches.
Scalpel.
Meryl hands the doctor a scalpel. Truman stares at them through the window.
I'm now making my primary incision just above the right knee.
The patient startles. A guard lowers the window blind.
Nicely done.
This isn't going to be pretty unless your family...
Beautiful. Beautiful job.
I'll just let someone else tidy up here.
In a travel agent's office, a poster warns of the dangers of traveling. A hidden camera scans the room to Truman, who holds a suitcase. He sits down next to a picture of a plane being hit by lightning. The caption reads, "It could happen to you." Truman looks over at the poster and stares. He turns his puzzled gaze to the office. A woman with a napkin tucked in her collar enters.
I'm sorry to keep you.
Oh, that's okay.
She sits and removes the napkin.
How can I help?
I would like to book a flight to Fiji.
She types on her computer.
When would you like to leave?
He pats his suitcase.
Today.
She nods and resumes typing. Truman leans in, resting his cheek on his hand. He studies the woman as she works, then glances to the desktop. The travel agent shakes her head.
I'm sorry, I don't have anything for at least a month.
A month?
It's the busy season. You want to book the flight?
Doesn't matter. I'll make other arrangements.
Truman waits at a bus station ticket window.
Last call for Chicago! All aboard!
He gives a quick wave to a man in a suit who blows a whistle.
Thank you.
Grabbing his ticket from the booth worker, he rushes to the bus.
Windy City, here we come.
He gets on the crowded vehicle.
Hi.
The driver shares a worried glance with the man in the suit.
Hello. Hi. Sisters?
Hey, Mom, isn't that you know
where's the front?
Sitting near the back of the bus, Truman beams. The other passengers wear stiff expressions. With a nervous look, the driver pushes the gear shift. Truman knits his brow while the others maintain their stony expressions. The driver grimaces. He anxiously looks in his rearview mirror. Steam rises from the bus. The man in the suit steps on.
Everybody off. We've got a problem.
The passengers instantly stand, grab their luggage, and file off. Leaving his seat, the bus driver heads for the door. He stops as he looks to the back of the vehicle.
I'm sorry, son.
He gives a small shrug, then turns to leave. Still in his seat, Truman stares out the window with a defeated expression. In the Truman Show Bar, the bartender talks to patrons.
Well, his father was from Chicago, wasn't he?
No. His dentist was from Pensacola. His father was from Des Moines.
But how come he wants to go to Chicago?
He's not going to Chicago. He's not going anywhere. He has to have it out in Merrill.
Holding a garbage bin with a hidden camera, Spencer eyes Truman's house. His Dalmatian looks over the fence. Merrill glances at the neighbor as she passes on her bike. She stops by Truman's car in the driveway. Smiling uncertainly, she peeks inside at her husband.
Truman?
She opens the door.
Honey, are you okay?
Get in.
She complies.
Truman?
Look.
They look in the rearview mirror at the empty street.
What?
I predict that in just a moment, we will see a lady on a red bike, followed by a man with flowers, and a Volkswagen Beetle with a dented fender.
Truman, please.
Look!
He grabs her and raises his brow at the mirror. People pass by.
Lady? Flowers!
And? Truman, this is silly.
There it is! There it is! There's the dented Beetle! Yes! Don't you want to know how I did that? I'll tell you. They're on a loop. They go around the block. They come back. They go around again. They just go around and round. Round and round.
You know, I invited Rita and Marlon for a barbecue on Sunday. I'm going to make my potato salad, and I need you to remind me that we need more charcoal.
Are you listening to a word I'm saying?
You're upset because you want to go to Fiji, is that it? Okay, go.
Truman looks away.
I think you should save for a few months and then go. There. You happy now? I'm gonna go take a shower.
He pushes the power locks.
Let's go now. I'm ready to go now. Why wait? Early bird gathers no moss. Rolling stone catches the worm, right?
He backs up.
Truman! What are you doing?
Truman swerves down a street.
Truman!
Where shall we go? Where shall we go?
Merrill eyes a camera.
Truman, where are we going?
I don't really know. I guess I'm being spontaneous. Somebody help me! I'm being spontaneous!
Truman!
Forget Fiji. Can't very well drive to Fiji, can we?
He speeds around a traffic circle.
What about Atlantic City?
Oh, no. You hate to gamble.
That's right, I do, don't I?
So why would you want to go there?
Because I never have. That's why people go places, isn't it?
Truman, I think I'm going to throw up.
Me too!
As he drives down a clear street, many cars emerge to block his path. Truman stops behind the last one.
Blocked at every turn. Beautifully synchronized, don't you agree?
You're blaming me for the traffic?
Should I?
They both face forward. Truman lets go of the wheel, and Merrill puts a hand on his shoulder.
Truman, let's go home.
You're right. We could be stuck here for hours. It could be like this all the way to Atlantic City. Let's go back.
He reverses.
I'm sorry. I don't know what got into me.
Merrill's smile fades, and she braces herself.
Can you please slow down?
Yes, I can.
He turns to the traffic circle.
Truman, that's our turnoff.
I changed my mind. What's New Orleans like this time of year? Mardi Gras!
Woo!
Look, Merrill. Same road. No cars. It's magic.
You let me out, Truman. You're not right in the head. You want to destroy yourself? You do it on your own.
I think I'd like a little company.
Later, their car sits at the beginning of a bridge to the mainland.
Oh, Truman. You knew this would happen. You know you can't drive over water. Just go home where you'll feel safe.
He puts her hand on the wheel.
Drive.
He floors it.
Truman! We shouldn't be doing this, Truman! We're breaking the law!
The car swerves.
Oh, my!
You can do it!
Please don't, please!
You can make it!
They bump over the road.
We're over the bridge!
A sign by the road reads, Forest Fire Warning, Extreme Danger.
Truman, what about that sign?
Exaggerating. We'll be fine.
A wall of flame appears.
Exaggerating? What? Would you believe that?
He drives through.
Oh my, Truman! We're on fire!
It's okay.
We're on fire!
It's okay, it's just smoke. You okay?
Yes!
You wanna do it again?
No! Truman, stop! Oh God.
So, what are we gonna do for money when we get to New Orleans?
I have my Sea Haven bank card.
So what, we're just gonna eat into our savings? Is that it? You know, I'm gonna have to call your mother when we get there. She's gonna be worried sick. I don't know how she's gonna take this.
Truman and Merrill shift in their seats. Craning his neck, he leans forward. He knits his brow with a skeptical look.
What now?
They approach the Sea Haven nuclear power station. Emergency vehicles block the bustling area.
Truman, looks like a leak at the plant.
Back up! Leak at the plant. They had to shut her down.
Is there any way around?
Whole air is being evacuated.
Is there anything I can do?
No, ma'am.
Thank you for your help.
You're welcome, Truman.
His eyes go wide.
Truman.
Merrill looks nervously at him.
Truman!
He gets out.
Truman, come back!
He climbs over cars.
Truman
takes down a man in a hazmat suit. Other workers aim equipment at him as he runs into the woods. They follow along with several cops. One of their hidden cameras films Truman avoiding a worker in a hazmat suit. He stumbles in another direction. Truman picks up a stick and swings it at his pursuers.
Stay away!
One worker threatens him with a net. Another grabs him from behind and pulls him to the ground. At home, Merrill faces officers.
Thank you both so much for your help. I really appreciate it.
He's lucky to be alive, ma'am. Next time we're going to have to file charges.
I understand.
Thanks again.
Good night.
Merrill shuts the door. Her smile gone, she walks toward Truman sitting at the kitchen table. As he stares off distantly, she leans on the nearby island counter.
Let me get you some help, Truman. You're not well.
Why do you want to have a baby with me? You can't stand me.
That's not true.
She turns away and her smile fades. Grabbing a can, she shows the label to the camera.
Why don't you let me fix you some of this new mococo drink? All natural cocoa beans from the upper slopes of Mount Nicaragua. No artificial sweeteners.
What the hell are you talking about?
He looks around.
Who are you talking to?
I've tasted other cocos. This is the best.
What the hell does this have to do with anything? Tell me what's happening!
Well, you're having a nervous breakdown. That's what's happening.
You're part of this, aren't you?
She wields her chef's pal multi-tool.
Truman! Merrill! You are scaring me!
No. You're scaring me, Merrill. What are you gonna do? Dice me? Slice me or peel me? There's so many choices!
No! Do something!
He restrains her and takes the tool.
What'd you say? Who are you talking to?
Nothing. I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything.
You said you said.
No, I didn't.
Talk.
I wasn't talking to anybody. No. Truman,
talk to me!
I don't know anything. Please stop.
Stay where you are.
Marlin enters.
Truman?
Truman wields the chef's pal.
Truman.
Oh, thank God.
Merrill throws her arms around Marlin. Overwhelmed, Truman covers his face.
How can anyone expect me to carry on under these conditions? It's unprofessional!
Shh, it's okay. Marlon rubs Meryl's back.
Everything's gonna be okay. Oh, it's all gonna be fine.
Nighttime at the unfinished bridge.
I don't know what to think, Marlon.
Truman and Marlon sit on the edge overlooking the water.
Maybe I'm losing my mind, but it feels like the whole world revolves around me somehow.
It's a lot of world for one man, Truman. Sure, that's not wishful thinking? You wishing you'd made something more out of yourself? Come on, Truman. Who hasn't sat in the John, had an imaginary interview on Sea Haven tonight? Who hasn't wanted to be somebody?
This is different. Everybody seems to be in on it.
Marlon looks away.
I've been your best friend since we were 7 years old, Truman. Only way you and I ever made it through school was by cheating off each other's test papers.
They both grin.
They were identical. But I always felt safe knowing that. Because whatever the answer was, we were right together and we were wrong together. Remember that time I stayed up with you all night in your tent? Because you wanted to play North Pole? And I got pneumonia? You remember that?
You were out of school for about a month.
Marlon nods and laughs. His grin fades.
You're the closest thing I ever had to a brother, Truman.
Watching him, Truman's eyes well with tears.
I know that things haven't really worked out for either of us like we used to dream they would. I know that feeling when it's like everything's slipping away and you don't want to believe it, so you look for answers somewhere else, but...
Truman rubs his eye.
Well,
but... Well, the point is... I'd gladly walk in front of traffic for you.
In a control room, employees stand with Christoph, the show's creator.
Well... The point is, I would gladly step in front of traffic for you, Truman.
Christoph gives cues.
And the last thing I'd ever do is lie to you.
And the last thing that I would ever do is lie to you. I mean, think about it, Truman. If everybody is in on it, I'd have to be in on it, too.
Truman stares tearfully at his friend, who looks away. Marlon takes a sip of beer.
I'm not in on it, Truman, because... There is no it.
Truman nods.
You were right about one thing, though. That. I think it started all this.
Marlon looks behind them, and Truman follows his gaze. Looking at him, Marlon nods with a faint smile. They stand, and Truman gazes down the bridge. A man slowly walks toward them.
Found him for you, Truman. That's why I came by tonight. Sure, he's got quite a story to tell.
Truman nods weakly, and Marlon puts a hand on his shoulder.
Go to him.
Nodding again, Truman stares through the heavy fog at his approaching father. In the control room, Christoph looks to a worker.
Easy on the fog. Stand by Crane Cam. Crane Cam.
A monitor shows Truman and his father slowly walking toward each other.
Button cam 3.
A hidden camera looks up at Truman, who wears an emotional expression. In the bar, two waitresses hold hands as they watch tearfully. Two old women watch on a couch. One clutches a pillow with Truman's face on it.
I never stop believing.
The old women hold hands.
And wide. Curb cam 8.
My son.
Truman's dad hugs him.
Move him for closer.
No.
Christoph gestures to a man at a keyboard.
Fade up music.
another man works at an audio mixer.
And now, going close.
Years wasted. I'll make it up to you, son. I swear.
Christoph stares intensely at the monitor as Truman sobs in his father's arms.
Dad.
Yes!
In the bar, the waitresses smile. A Japanese man and woman embrace as they watch, and the two old women hug. Christoph hugs his employees.
Bravo!
That will bring the ratings, period.
Congratulations.
Okay, everybody, quiet down. Let's concentrate.
Great television.
That was good work.
Woo!
Christoph walks out through a metal detector. Executives approach.
Reverend Christoph,
just broke my heart.
He walks off as the two men enter.
Well done, everyone!
Bravo.
Congratulations!
Sitting on the floor in front of her couch, Sylvia wears a somber expression. She watches Truman on TV as he sips from a mug. Words scroll by. Truman drinks Mococo, world's finest cocoa beans grown on the upper slopes of Mount Nicaragua. Sylvia glares at the screen.
1.7 billion were there for his birth.
The TV shows baby Truman on a magazine cover.
220 countries tuned in for his first step. The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. An entire human life recorded on an intricate network of hidden cameras and broadcast live and unedited 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to an audience around the globe.
Glimpses show different people watching a talk show.
What a week it's been. I don't know about you. I was on pins and needles the entire time. Hello and good evening. I'm your host, Mike Michelson, and welcome to True Talk, our forum for issues growing out of the show. But tonight, something very special indeed. A rare and exclusive interview with the show's conceiver and creator. So, come with us now as we go live to the Lunar Room on the 221st floor of the OmniCam Ecosphere. That's where we'll find the world's greatest televisionary, the designer and architect of the world within a world that is Sea Haven Island, Christoph.
In the fake moon.
Before we begin, I'd like to thank you on behalf of our audience for granting this exclusive interview. We know how demanding your schedule is, and we all know how jealously you guard your privacy. This, sir, is indeed an honor.
Don't mention it.
Well, the catalyst for the recent dramatic events on the show has been, of course, Truman's father, Kirk, and his attempts to infiltrate the show. But before we get into that, I think it's worth noting that this is not the first time that someone from the outside has attempted to reach Truman, is it?
We have had our close calls in the past.
Truman! It's television!
A man pops out of a Christmas present. Truman's dad tackles him.
We're on the Truman Show!
But there's never been anything to compare with this most recent breach in security, the first intruder to be a former cast member.
A dead one at that.
Gotta say, writing Kirk back in, masterstroke.
Since Kirk started this whole crisis in Truman's life, I came to the conclusion that he was the only one who could end it.
Truman!
Young Truman, Truman climbs rocks by the beach.
That's off limits!
Why? What's over there?
Nothing. It's dangerous, that's all. You've got to know your limitations, Truman.
But let's remind viewers of exactly why Dad was written out in the first place.
As Truman grew up, we were forced to manufacture ways to keep him on the island.
I'd like to be an explorer, like the Great Magellan.
Oh, you're too late. There's really nothing left to explore.
A dog blocks Truman from crossing a bridge.
Finally, I came up with a concept of Kirk's drowning.
Most likely. Truman's been terrified of the water ever since.
When Kirk read the synopsis for the Death at Sea episode, he was disappointed, to say the least. And I'm sure that's what caused him to break back onto the set.
But how do you intend to explain his 22-year absence?
Amnesia.
Brilliant. Let's take some of those viewer phone calls. Charlotte, North Carolina, you're on with Christoph.
Hi, Christoph. I was just wondering how many cameras you got there in that town.
Somewhere in the vicinity of 5,000.
Oh, that's a lot of cameras.
Remember, We started with just one.
In the womb.
He was curious from birth. You're premature by 2 weeks. It was almost as if he couldn't wait to get started.
And, of course, his eagerness to leave his mother's womb was the very reason he was the one who was elected.
In competition with 5 other unwanted pregnancies, the casting of a show determined by an air date, Truman was the one who arrived on cue.
In his crib, baby Truman stares at a camera hanging from his mobile.
Incidentally, I believe Truman is the first child to have been legally adopted by a corporation.
That's correct.
The show has generated enormous revenues, now equivalent to the gross national product of a small country.
People forget it takes the population of an entire country to keep the show running.
Mm-hmm. Since the show is on 24 hours a day without commercial interruption, all those staggering revenues are generated by product placement.
That's true. Everything on the show is for sale, from the actors' wardrobe, food products, to the very homes they live in.
And, of course, all of it available in the Truman catalog, and operators are standing by. Christoph, let me ask you. Why do you think that Truman has never come close to discovering the true nature of his world until now?
We accept the reality of the world with which we're presented. It's as simple as that.
The Hague for Christoph. Hello. The Hague. All right, we've lost that call. Let's go to Hollywood, California. You're on True Talk.
Hi, Christoph. I'd just like to say one thing. You're a liar and a manipulator, and what you've done to Truman is sick.
Well, we remember this voice, don't we? How could we forget?
Let's go to another call. What do we
It's fine, Mike. I love to reminisce with former members of the cast. Sylvia, as you announced so melodramatically to the world, you think because you batted your eyes at Truman once, flirted with him, stole a few minutes of airtime with him to thrust yourself and your politics into the limelight, that you know him, that you know what's right for him? You really think you're in a position to judge him?
What right do you have to take a baby and turn his life into some kind of mockery? Don't you ever feel guilty?
I have given Truman the chance to lead a normal life. The world, the place you live in, is the sick place. Sea Haven is the way the world should be.
He's not a performer. He's a prisoner. Look at him. Look at what you've done to him.
He could leave at any time. If his was more than just a vague ambition, if he was absolutely determined to discover the truth, there's no way we could prevent him. I think what distresses you, really, caller, is that ultimately, Truman prefers his cell, as you call it.
Oh, that's where you're wrong. You're so wrong, and he'll prove you wrong.
Well, aside from heated comments of a very vocal minority, it's been an overwhelmingly positive experience.
Yes, for Truman and for the viewing public.
Well, Christoph, I can't thank you enough for giving so generously of your time tonight. I think it's safe to say that now that this crisis is behind us and that Truman is back to his old self, we can look forward to some exciting new developments.
Well, Mike, the big news is that Merrill will be leaving Truman in an upcoming episode, and a new romantic interest will be introduced.
Uh-huh.
I'm determined that television's first on-air conception will still take place.
Well, another television milestone straight ahead. You heard it here first. It has been a singular honor and a pleasure, sir. Christoph, thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Sylvia sadly touches the live feed of Truman playing in the corner of the screen. A viewer in a bathtub dozes off. The television resting near his feet shows Truman asleep in bed. In the lunar room, Christoph wears a towel around his shoulders. He looks back at the giant monitor showing the green-tinted image of Truman. Christoph gazes at the screen, then walks closer to it. He studies the massive image before him. Truman moves slightly, but remains asleep. Reaching out, Christoph gently rubs the screen over Truman's nose. A sign above reads, "On Air." The keyboard player performs near other workstations covered by tarps. Christoph walks away from the screen. Day breaks over Sea Haven. In the bathroom, Truman washes his face. He turns off the sink and dries his cheek with a hand towel. He looks at his reflection. In the lunar room, the camera in the mirror shows him staring out from the monitor.
Hey, Simeon.
What?
The goateed worker watches with the dark-haired man.
Is he looking at us?
Jesus, do you think he knows?
Hello? Better call Christoph.
Hello? Come in, Major Burbank.
Using a bar of soap, Truman draws a space helmet on the mirror, encircling his head. The two employees smile. Simeon hangs up the phone.
He's back to his old self.
Oh my God.
Truman draws antennas on the helmet. He slowly looks around, as if in space.
That's an unusual cat, my man.
Truman draws a flag with the letter T on it.
Hereby proclaim this planet Trumania of the Burbank Galaxy.
Okay.
You gonna go?
Hallway camera ready.
Truman cleans the mirror and winks.
That one's for free.
Keep up with them because they're gonna move fast.
Okay, stand by all house cameras.
He steps outside.
Morning!
Good morning!
Good morning!
Good morning!
Oh, and in case I don't see you.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
The Japanese family watches the show.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
And good night.
Morning, Truman. Morning, Spencer.
How's it going?
Let me check.
He reads his watch.
Vital signs are good. Oh, hey, Pluto.
In town, the twins push him against the advertisement.
Oh, look who's here.
Beautiful day, isn't it?
Every single day.
The policy. We thought about it, and we're going to take it.
You're kidding.
No!
Great! Why don't we go up to my office right now, and we'll sign the papers.
Next week would be much better. Next week would be better.
I knew it. See you guys.
Okay.
Bye now. See you next week. Bye. Give me something to look forward to.
At work, Truman uses the phone.
See, this isn't about insurance. This is about the great variable. When will death occur? It could be a week, month, a year. Could be today.
A camera and a pencil sharpener spins.
Sunbather, minding his own business. Stabbed in the heart by the tip of a runaway beach umbrella. No way to guard against that kind of thing.
Lawrence points.
Excuse me.
Truman, this is Vivian. Vivian, this is Truman. Two of you are going to be neighbors.
Smiling, she waves, then looks away shyly. Truman talks on the phone.
Guess what I'm saying is that life is fragile.
Vivian smiles.
Vivian, your office.
Sorry.
What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. You do? Oh, great. Let me take your information.
At home, Truman mows his lawn with an Elk rotary lawnmower. In the lunar room, a scale model shows Sea Haven surrounded by a dome. Simeon eats pizza and reads the paper. Another worker pedals a stationary bike.
Ready to go to two.
The large monitor shows different angles of Truman's basement.
And back to medium. And wide.
On the screen, a blanket covers a motionless lump. The dark-haired worker notices Christoph and beckons Simeon back to their station.
I was just trying to train the kid. Never mind.
What's he doing in the basement?
He moved down there after Merrill packed up and left.
Why wasn't I told? Any unpredictable behavior has to be reported.
He's just sleeping, I thought.
This is the best shot we've got?
What's to say?
What's on the clock, Cam?
It's an obstruction.
What happened down there?
He was just tidying up his garbage. I was going to call you, but halfway through, he gave up and he fell asleep.
I want to check on the setups for the insurance.
Insurance convention tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah.
As Christoph steps away, Simeon hands the other employee a slice of pizza. Their boss glances back over his shoulder.
There you go.
Christoph walks toward the projected moon on the dome window behind them. The two employees glance over at him, then share a look. Christoph turns sharply and strides back over.
Isolate the audio.
All right.
Give me a close-up on his torso.
Still breathing.
Where's Chloe?
Yes, sir.
Call him.
What do you
tell mean, him it's
sir?
A wrong number.
One of the security guards watching the show returns to the booth holding food.
What took you so long?
Just had to wait for it. They were busy. Here. What's going on?
I don't know. They're...
Footage rewinds.
He came down into the room. He did nothing but stand around for a while.
Shut up and watch.
Then we went to night fishing. He's asleep.
Something moves in the corner.
There! Stop it.
What?
Zoom in.
On which?
Under the chair there.
Uh-huh.
Enhance it.
The sharpened image shows a hand.
Is it?
Oh, my God.
If he couldn't have gone up the stairs, he must still be
get
in the
Marlon
room.
Over there.
Marlon's red truck whips down a residential road. He stops in front of Truman's house. With a six-pack in hand, he goes inside and rushes down to the basement.
Truman! Surprise party! Whew. Come on, buddy. I got a six-pack of cold brewskis with our name on them. Come on, pal. Come on, buddy.
He pulls back the blanket to reveal a plastic snowman.
Shit.
Marlon holds up a tape recorder.
Marlon, find him. He's still in the room.
Kristoff watches him look around.
Come out, wherever you are.
That's good. Keep it light.
I know you're in here. I'm gonna find you.
Marlon looks inside a cardboard lawnmower box.
Check under the table. The closet, behind you.
He looks off. A map of Fiji hangs behind them.
Huh. Gee. I wonder where he could possibly be.
Spinning around, he rolls up the map and opens a closet. Inside, a stepladder sits under a hole in the ceiling. Marlon climbs up.
Lawn cam, give me the lawn cam.
Marlon climbs out of the hole into Truman's yard. He looks into the camera.
Don't look in the camera, say something. Keep it going.
He's gone. Cut transmission!
Cut transmission?
Cut it!
Kristoff turns off the show. At the bar, one waitress drops a glass in a panic. At home, the two old women sleep. One stirs and wakes the other. Their TV shows multiples of Truman's photo with the words, "The Truman Show, live to the world, 24 hours a day. Please stand by." The Truman Show workers take calls. Kristoff arrives and joins Simeon.
We've got every available extra looking for him. The principals are helping out. The crew, too, so every sector's covered.
What about prop cars?
Yes, they've been accounted for. He has to be on foot.
I want to talk to an
he has the world's most recognizable face. He can't disappear.
A spotlight shines down from the moon and sweeps over the water. It shines on houses. In town, long lines of cast members aim flashlights as they walk with linked arms. Another group crosses a field. Police officers walk among the citizens. Some people wear viewing devices on their heads. Marlon walks next to Spencer. Pluto snarls and pulls on his leash.
Go! Hunt him! Hunt him! Yeah! Go find him, Pluto! Good dog!
All this, us! If you could just hear my voice! Truman! Truman!
Let me try.
Truman! It's me! Dad! Let's talk!
Marlon speaks to Simeon in the control room.
Yeah, I know. Just about done with the square.
Gotta go back to Barrymore. Check the interiors. Gotta be in there.
Barrymore, huh?
Uh-huh.
All right, well, what about the college? Who's watching that?
I don't know.
We'll send somebody over there, okay?
All right.
Crowds of people march through the town square. Standing by a policeman, the twins wear earpieces.
Take another man and get
what?
Down there now, all right?
I don't give
okay.
a damn. Just find the son of a bitch.
Well, get some batteries. This guy's not going to glow in the dark. Let's get him down here.
Chloe joins Kristoff.
Reroute it back to
we need more light. We'll never find him this way.
He paces near the large moon projection on the dome window.
What time is it?
way too early for that.
Kristoff steps away from the employee, then turns back to her.
Cue the sun.
The sun rises over the ocean. Its light washes over the people in town, and they shield their eyes.
Jeez. What time is it?
The executives arrive.
Kristoff, what's going on? You know that there's rumors circulating that he's dead?
You hear
me? The media is having a feeding frenzy with this. All the phone lines are jammed, and every network has a pirated shot of Marlon making an ass of himself in front of the camera.
This sponsor's threatening to rip up their contract.
Why? We're getting higher ratings with this graphic than we've ever had on this show.
Great.
Simeon stares at a screen showing Marlon, who shrugs at the camera.
No sign of him.
Okay, Marlon, why don't you head back to town and join the others? Everyone else is at first positions, okay? Thank you. Everyone's at first positions, right?
In town, the cast members stand frozen in place. In the lunar room, Kristoff turns away from Simeon's workstation. He stares at the blue sky projected on the dome window.
Picture's a mess.
He looks back to the screen.
So he's got to be there somewhere, right?
We're not watching the sea.
Hang on a minute. Why would we watch the sea?
Sweep the harbor.
Bring up the harbor cameras, please.
Okay, shift all harbor cameras to the computer, please.
Some of those are out, aren't they?
Yeah, we have four of them down, but we have the lighthouse cameras up. All buoy cams, please.
What's happening?
Okay. Long lens, shore base cameras.
Why are we looking at the water?
Good.
Leaning close, Kristoff stares intently at the monitors.
Mm-hmm. Now?
Truman.
Simeon looks over.
Where are you going?
They watch a boat.
How can he sail? He's in insurance. Isn't he terrified of the water?
Resume transmission.
The man in the bathtub grins and sits up as the show turns back on. In the bar.
I got 2-1 he doesn't make it.
Hey, I want to be
sad. 2-1 he doesn't make it.
A man taps his keys on the security guard's windows.
Just leave him in the car.
The disturbed guard returns to watching with his co-worker. A carved eagle juts out from the bow of the small sailboat. A hidden camera near the top of the mast shows Truman steering the wheel.
Let's get off this mast, Shep. We can't see his face. Go to the cabin cam.
Cabin cam.
Wearing a sailor's hat, Truman smiles.
There, perfect. That's our hero shot.
He reaches into his jacket pocket and pulls out a slip of paper. Unfolding it, he reveals the collage he made of Sylvia. At home, Sylvia smiles as she tearfully watches the show. Truman folds the paper and looks out at the open water. He puts the collage in his pocket and grabs the wheel. A hidden camera watches the small boat speed past. The words Santa Maria mark the back of the vessel.
Let's get another boat out there.
Chloe touches her earpiece.
Okay. Listen, guys, I need to talk to guys in the ferry.
Come on, get it moving. Get it out of here.
The bus driver tries to start the boat.
Come on. I'm using the bus driver. Bottom line is they can't drive the boat. They're actors.
Kristoff looks up at the large monitor.
How do we stop them?
He looks to Simeon, who meets his gaze. Simeon wears an expectant look, and Kristoff nods. Nodding to himself, the employee touches his earpiece.
Okay, we're going to be accessing the weather program now. So hold on to your hats. You got that? No, I think we're going to want to localize a storm over the boat.
He glances at Kristoff, who looks away.
You can get the coordinates for that.
There's no rescue boat. He won't know what to do.
He'll turn back. He'll be too afraid.
The executives talk behind Kristoff.
There she blows.
On the water, waves and rain whip against the small sailboat. Truman reaches for a rope to steady the sail. A hidden camera in the compass shows Truman pushing the starter button.
Come on.
Lightning briefly illuminates his face. He falls over in the boat. Truman struggles to pull himself up. He grabs the boom, holding the bottom part of the sail, and rises to his feet. Wind and rain pummel the boat as the wheel goes unmanned. Creeping along the side, Truman falters slightly but remains on board.
Give me some lightning. Again. Hit him again.
Lightning strikes the mast and Truman falls into the water. The man in the tub watches with concern. Truman's hands reach out of the water, then disappear. Cameras show the boat from multiple angles.
God's sake, Chris. The whole world is watching. We can't let him die in front of a live audience.
He was born in front of a live audience.
A short distance from the vessel, Truman struggles to stay afloat amid the tumultuous waves. He slowly swims towards the boat. A swell passes over him, but he resurfaces. Reaching for the boat, he grabs hold of the limply hanging sail. Water partially obscures the camera's view of him. Kristoff removes his glasses, leaning closer as he watches. Truman reaches out and grabs a railing on the side of the boat. People in the bar clap and cheer. Truman climbs up. The man in the tub clings to his shower curtain.
You can do it! Hold on!
Truman flings away his wet jacket. Watching intently, Kristoff raises his head. Truman wrestles with the ropes on the boat as heavy rain pours down on him. Kristoff nods, he walks away, and the others watch him curiously. The large monitor behind him shows Truman tying the ropes around his body. Putting on his glasses, Kristoff looks out the dome window showing a fake sky.
Is that the best you can do? You're gonna have to kill me!
What you gonna do when the drunken sailor?
On behalf of the studio, I demand that you cease transmission.
Keep running.
What you gonna do with the drunken sailor? I am the morning.
Increase the wind. Increase the wind!
Simeon complies.
I am telling you for the last time.
How close is he?
Very close. Capsize him. Tip him over.
Damn you, Victor!
No, you can't. He's tied himself to the boat.
Shut up!
He's gonna drown. He doesn't even care.
Do it.
Do it!
Kristoff reaches past Simeon and presses the controls. He looks back at the large monitor. Truman watches as an enormous wave heads for the boat. It washes over him, nearly capsizing the small vessel. Truman hangs over the side of the boat. Another colossal wave crashes down on him. Tangled in the rope, Truman lies face up near the steering wheel and part of the sail. Kristoff stares with a stony expression. A wave knocks the boat on its side. Truman's hand sinks under the water. In the bar, the concerned workers and patrons stare at the TV. A hidden camera shows the eagle carving and the sails billowing in the water. Truman's hand waves over the surface. Underwater, bubbles float around his face. Kristoff knits his brow slightly. Truman's limp body starts to float away through the murky water.
That's enough.
Simeon reaches for his console. Kristoff drops his gaze. As the storm clears, the small boat rocks back upright. Truman lies sprawled out under the bogged-down sails. In the sky, clouds roll away from the sun and the light shines down onto Truman. With the ropes wrapped around him, he hangs off the side of the boat. The boom and the wet sails swing away from him. In the lunar room, Kristoff watches with his somber employees. A light rain falls over Truman, who rolls over. Chloe smiles faintly. Truman leans on the steering wheel. He slides part of the rope off himself. He untangles his limbs from the wheel and drops to the floor of the boat. Grabbing the fabric sail, he starts to pull himself up. Another camera angle shows the sail gradually rising. Below, Truman pulls the rope to hoist it. The wind catches the sail, causing the fabric to billow out. In the lunar room, the entire crew stares at the monitor. The lone sailboat drifts away over the water. The camera near the front shows the eagle carving. Holding the wheel, Truman looks up at the sky with a peaceful expression. He shuts his eyes as the sun washes down on him. With the wind fluttering his hair, Truman gazes out across the water. His boat runs into the wall at the edge of the ocean, poking a hole in the artificial sky. Truman falls forward from the impact. With a startled expression, he stares up. He hurries down the bow and holds the sailboat for support. Truman stares at the painted wall before him. As he slowly reaches out, his hand casts a shadow on the barrier. Truman touches the wall, pressing his hand against it.
Oh,
He stands with his eyes closed. Wearing an emotional look, he stares at the puffy clouds painted on the wall. Holding the sail's rope, Truman repeatedly hurls himself against the wall. He elbows it and bangs on it with his free hand. The wall remains intact. Leaning over the rope, Truman sobs. He slaps the wall again, then slumps against it. With a hopeless expression, he slides down the barrier as he looks up toward the fake sky. Still clinging to the sail's rope, he glances to the side. He drops lower and stares at the water. His expression becomes determined. Truman rolls up one of his sleeves and glances straight up. He steps away from the boat and walks along a narrow path at the base of the wall. Squinting, he scans the area around him. Truman walks ahead, running his hand along the wall painted with clouds. A distant hidden camera shows him walking toward a camouflage staircase. He stops for a moment at the bottom of the steps, then slowly climbs up. He presses his hand to the wall as he ascends. In the lunar room, Christoph takes a seat in his command chair.
I want to talk to him.
Truman reaches a door marked exit at the top of the stairs. Christoph watches on a tablet. He briefly closes his eyes. Truman pushes open the door to a dark space beyond.
Truman.
He spins around.
You can speak. I can hear you.
Truman stares at the sun peeking through the clouds.
Who are you? I am the creator of a television show that gives hope and joy and inspiration to millions.
Truman glances off, then stares at the camera.
Then who am I?
You're the star.
His eyes shift as he presses his lips together and nods.
Was nothing real?
You were real. That's what made you so good to watch. Listen to me, Truman. There's no more truth out there than there is in the world I created for you. Same lies. The same deceit. But in my world, you have nothing to fear. I know you better than you know yourself.
You never had a camera in my head.
You're afraid. That's why you can't leave.
Christoph gently touches Truman's image on the screen.
It's okay, Truman. I understand. I have been watching you your whole life. I was watching when you were born. I was watching when you took your first step.
Facing away, Truman hangs his head.
Watched you on your first day of school. The episode when you lost your first tooth. You can't leave, Truman.
Sylvia watches.
Please, God.
You belong here.
You can do it.
With me. Talk to me. Say something.
Keeping his back turned, Truman wipes his face.
Well, say something, goddammit! You're on television! You're live to the whole world!
In the bar, everyone watches the TV. The man in the bath sits upright, rapt with attention. One of the old ladies clutches her pillow. Sylvia watches tearfully. Squinting, Truman turns and faces the sky.
In case I don't see ya. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
He cocks his head to the side and smiles.
Yeah.
Christoph's grin fades. Truman bows with a flourish, and Sylvia smiles through her tears. Arms spread wide, Truman stands upright from his bow. He turns to the exit and hesitates, then steps through into the darkness. Beaming, Sylvia puts on a jacket as she hurries down a stairwell and out the door. The people in the bar celebrate. In the bath, the man splashes triumphantly. The bartender high-fives patrons. The security guards high-five. The old women sob happily. Removing his glasses, Christoph looks toward the crew. An executive leans close to Simeon.
Cease transmission.
Ceasing transmission.
The shot of the stairwell goes to static. In the security booth...
You want another slice?
No, I'm okay.
What else is on?
Yeah, let's see what else.
Where's the TV guy?
Cut to black. Credits appear. Directed by Peter Weir. Written by Andrew Nichol. Produced by Scott Rudin, Andrew Nichol. Produced by Edward S. Feldman, Adam Schroeder. Director of Photography, Peter Bizio, BSC. Production Designer, Dennis Gassner. Edited by William Anderson, ACE, Lee Smith. Original music by Burkhard Dahlwitz. Costume Designer, Marilyn Matthews. Special Design Consultant, Wendy Stites. Executive Producer, Lynn Pleschett. Co-producer, Richard Luke Rothschild. Casting by Howard Feuer. Paramount Pictures presents a Scott Rudin production, a Peter Weir film, Jim Carrey, The Truman Show. Laura Linney, Noah Emmerich, Natasha Michelhone, Holland Taylor, Brian Delatte, Una Damon, Paul Giamatti, Philip Baker Hall, Peter Krause, John Plachette, Heidi Shantz, Harry Shearer, Blair Slater, and Ed Harris. Unit Production Managers, Richard Luke Rothschild, Joseph P. Kane. First Assistant Director, Alan B. Curtis. Second Assistant Director, Jonathan Watson. Visual Effects Supervisor, Michael J. McAllister. Credits roll. trademark and copyright 1998 by Paramount Pictures Corporation. All rights reserved. The persons and events in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons or events is unintentional. This motion picture is protected under laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution.